For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, and welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, the most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight, this is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy, it's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us, we don't do interviews, we do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill, we drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week, as long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm gonna go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!
Hey guys, welcome to CarCast, brought to you by JB Weld. JB Weld is available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, Napa, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And remember, JB Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA. It's JB Weld, world's strongest bond.
Well, this week we cover the entire Monterey spectrum, some cars we love, what track hijinks,
yeah,
and the like.
The track was fun, the great event, and so we're going to get in all the great details.
First, I'll tell you about Sleeper, modern-day fantasy experience designed to connect people over sports with integrated chat and a sleek interface. Sleeper users talk more to their league mates. Fantasy, NFL, NBA, and even LCS. That's right. League of Legends, the LCS League of Legends. Free, by the way. Zero ads. A genuinely premium experience. Total control over your fantasy draft and season. Red Raft, Dynasty, Best Ball, Sleeper. Play fantasy sports your way. It on, got to get on. The choice, we get on mandate, get it on. And welcome to CarCast, Matt Krolitz, Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea.
Hello.
Over there.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, feels like I just saw you.
I know. We just had so much fun out at Carmel and Monterey, and all the autos and all the food and all the booze and all the fun and all the entertainment.
I do love that trip. It's a
good
trip.
So good. I feel like it goes by faster each year. I felt like the first year I went there, it was like a long 4 days, and now it's just I just blink my eyes. And
it did. It this year seemed to go quickly. For I don't know what it was. It just seemed to go by fast. Maybe it's because Sonny's an adult.
Well, weirdly, just through the eyes of the 15-year-old. I mean, obviously, when you're a kid, you know, these three-day trip, four-day trip up the coast, it feels like a lifetime. You have a different perspective on time, just the same way you would when you were going back to school and, you know, you're thinking about the Christmas vacation and you're going back to school in September or August or whatever, and it's like, ugh, Christmas, so far away. Like, it just felt so far away. And now, you know, when you're an adult and you get into September and someone's talking about Christmas, it just feels like it's going to come right up on you, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So even when we're driving out of here on Sunday night, Sonny had this thing where he was like, God, it feels like we left earlier today. Like,
yeah.
So even as a kid, he had that kind of vibe that this thing just flew by. So much to talk about. We've informed you on some of the stuff. We didn't get into, you know, how it went at the track and many of the events and all that kind of stuff, which we definitely will be getting into. First, I want to tell you about Craig. That is K-R-E-G. Pocket hole jig. 520 Pro. Anyone can easily create perfect strong pocket hole joints now. So I used to work and I used to build cabinets. And when I worked at the Euro cabinet place, which was always better closets, you do the
ABC, baby.
You do the butt joints. And we didn't have a good jig. That was was the problem. So it's a jig. I'm a woodworker. Basically, if you're building a cabinet and you want to put your four corners together, use the jig, and then you use the jig to drill it, and then they give you special screws, and you don't have to get into all the joinery, dados and rabbits and glue joints and nailing and all that kind of stuff.
You can one of these. It's cool looking. I was looking at it. I was like, oh, I like this thing.
It's a nice piece. It retails for just $99.99. It's available nationwide. You can get a Home Depot, Lowe's, or any all the home centers, woodworking, hardware stores as well. And you can build your projects, whether you're pro or DIYer. You can learn more at craigtool.com. That's K-R-E-G-tool.com. So, we got out there. We got the car out there. We, just kind of made it under the wire. The car, we ran all four sessions. It didn't run very well. We had some battery issues, maybe some alternator issues, though evidently the alternator's charging now. So was it ever an alternator issue? I don't know.
Well, maybe a regulator, a voltage regulator issue, because when we did put a meter on it, it was overcharging. So it was something with the voltage regulator that we weren't
– Right.
Nobody had at the track, weren't able to replace.
Either way, the car wasn't pulling very hard, but it ran well enough and it didn't, overheat and it didn't break, and we're able to get out there and go in a semicircle for 8 or 10 or 12 laps.
Yeah. Well, you got to do all back. The sessions, right?
Did all the sessions, got in the car, had the general experience of the race, but just not, the car wasn't pulling hard enough to get in the thick of things. But good guys, good people. The spirit of the track is alive and well.
Yeah.
A lot of good folks. Got to talk to our friend Jim Farley out there.
Yeah. Patrick Long was with us. A Porsche racing driver was there. He was, he hops in cars, does some favors for people, kind of helps them to dial it in, shake out their cars a little bit, and got a nice kind of shared some space with him. And, of course, before we forget, thank the guys at JRZ, Gary and his team, for sharing the paddock with us and some of their resources and some of their guys. All fantastic guys. But it seemed like attendance was maybe a little bit lighter at the track. As we walked around, still the same amount of cars, I would say. When you were on the track, did the grandstands look full as you were crawling by?
I felt like the grandstands would fill up for certain races. They all want to go out and see the Trans Am race or maybe the F1 race. But yes, in general, the infield, the paddock didn't seem, where you can really kind of tell. You can kind of tell when you get in the car and you try to make your way out to the grid. And when there's throngs of people, you have to kind of keep throwing revs and guys blowing whistles and people on scooters and people stopping people and letting people by. Right. And there's always the guy that just walks down the very middle of the pit lane.
Yeah.
There's a main artery that just leads to the track that cars are either getting off of or going onto. And there's always the guy that just walks down the very center of it. Or not even the very center of it. He actually walks like right in the middle of one of the lanes.
Yeah.
And they just kind of, they don't know what's going on around them. It's a weird thing because it's just cars coming off and coming on that path. And you could kind of move it over to the side a little bit, but you can. So in years past, the way you can kind of tell how crowded it is by how many times you had to stop or throw a rev or get I was always it always pissed me off when I'd be sitting around in the paddock and some guy with a big block vet and the side exhaust would come by and he'd throw a ref, right?
Nobody right has a horn, right?
Right. But I didn't know for the first 5 years I did. Like, why is that guy throwing revs? He's just kind of crawling. Well, because somebody's in his way.
Somebody's in his way.
Right. So that seemed a little lighter.
I agree with that. And that area where the cars come out, I think they should do a little bit more, like throw down some caution tape or some gaffer's tape. Like, this is a hot zone, just like a little bit more indicator, you know, kind of thing. I saw one of the track officials in a big pickup truck, right? He's moving trash cans and doing whatever. He's in an F-150, doesn't want to honk the horn all the time. It's too loud. So he had fixed a cowbell at the front of his truck, and every time he'd hit the gas or the brake, it would ring that bell a little. So he was getting people's attention with his cowbell. And I was like, did I hear a cowbell? And I saw him, and he was just tapping on the brake, and it was ringing his cowbell. And I thought that was cool.
Smart, yeah.
Kind of neat. So here's a thought. I don't know if you saw the news about this, but already announced for next year, the marquee, the theme is Le Mans.
Yeah, I just heard that this morning.
But did you see the schedule change?
No.
Okay, so this is going to be important because this may throw off our whole racing schedule. The entire racing schedule is going to be moved back one day. What they're trying to do is no racing on Sunday because it takes away the attendance from Pebble Beach. So anybody that was going to race on Sunday now races on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I don't know what that does to Quail and whatever, but also your first practice on Thursday is going to be Wednesday.
Yeah. It's there's a lot of new blood out there and they're making decisions. And I think they're right in that everyone had to make the choice between the track and the lawn on Sunday. And why would you want to make that decision? I mean, the two biggest things out there, I mean, everyone comes for the lawn, the concourse, but half the people come for the track.
Right.
And it may be equal numbers. I mean, you may have half the populace. And sometimes you have a sort of group of the, you know, the champagne loafer crowd that has no interest in the track, but everyone, and so they go hang out on the lawn. They're looking for Sunday. There's people who go down there the whole weekend and never get to the track. Bo Bachman, if you're listening,
yeah,
and they have a million different other engagements, and their car tastes are not the hardcore race cars, you know. Fine. But I would say that a largish percentage of the people that are on the lawn would also like to get to the track and vice versa.
Yeah.
And so all the people who have to race on Sunday, you know, you want a glass of champagne, you want to go walk around and see all the cool stuff. And, you know, I think sometimes there's a misnomer that what's going on the lawn is a bunch of old Duesenbergs or Chitty Chitty Bang Bang cars. Contraire, there are some really, cool race cars on that track. That lawn. And I think they're smart to do it this way.
If they do it, they need to pay attention to the significant increase in attendance on the lawn on Sunday, and especially how parking is handled and busing people in or whatever. It's always complicated and people get lost. But also the thing to point out here is the big run groups, the run group that you're in, you know, Canepa and, you know, the 935s and the Decon Monza, you know, you guys, a lot of you guys race that run group because it's Saturday morning and the afternoon. Now that will be Friday with Quail in the middle.
Right.
Right. So unless they change the run group, what they said was everything stays the same, just move back a day.
So they literally said everything the same.
That's what they said so far. Now we'll see. They announced it. They just mean it's going to be a Wednesday through Saturday instead of a Thursday through Sunday. But
yeah,
unless they really mix up the groups now.
Well, let me speculate. you know, first off, we can talk to your Bruce Kenepas, your Patrick Longs, or whatever, the people that have a vote.
Yeah.
You know, and are working with that. So, you know, maybe there's some influence peddling that can go on. But here would be my speculation. The big day at the track would be Saturday in that case. The mark is Le Mans, 100 years of Le Mans.
Right. Well, the big day would be now Friday.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
I think the big day would be Saturday. I'm not saying everything got slid back. I'm not working under that auspices. What I'm saying is Friday's a weekday. The track is crowded on a Friday, but it's more crowded on a Saturday.
Right.
There's more people just by the one day Saturday ticket. A lot of people work on Friday. It's not everyone's. Not everyone takes a week off for car week. So I think the big day at the track would be Saturday.
Yes, attendance-wise.
Attendance-wise. I think if the marquee is Le Mans and all the Le Mans cars are in my run group and elsewhere, that they would focus on having those cars go off on Saturday in prime time,
so to speak.
They probably wouldn't want... With Le Mans as the marquee, they probably wouldn't want, you know, a bunch of 510s and MGs and, you know, other non-whatevers going. The run group that normally goes off on Sunday afternoon, I don't think they'd want that at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
I agree. I think they need to put a little thought into it. But you're right. Your run group is a very popular to watch run group. After that is, you know, the big Trans Am cars, the muscle cars. That's popular. It's cool to see the F1 cars. Like, those are the ones that I think the spectators kind of would like to see. So those are the, for lack of a better term, those are the primetime groups.
Right,
and the primetime needs to be Saturday. So
right.
I guess we'll see how it goes. Or, look, maybe Quail just says, hey, Quail's on Thursday.
Yeah, maybe everything gets
maybe
moved
everything
back.
Gets moved a little bit. You know, who knows?
Oh, and maybe we get to bring a 510 out there.
I was thinking that too. That could be kind of cool. Although the theme next year being Le Mans, I think you don't have a choice.
No, you'd have to.
We'd have to bring
two cars.
You gotta bring, yeah.
That's how you'd have to do it. Have to bring the 935 and one of the 510s.
Speaking of racing two cars, what kind of rock star is Jim Farley, CEO of Ford? He was out there running his Cobra, his Mickey Thompson Cobra with the hard top.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was in the Boss 302.
Yeah.
And he was working hard at the track.
Yeah. And he was doing pretty well until pretty much the end of both his run groups. I think one, he spun the Cobra out, and then the other probably had some... he had some mechanical issues, but at the very end. But it was also funny because the first thing they said to me was, you've got to take your number two car and make it 21.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've had this happen a couple of times. I had it happen at Coronado. I've had it happen a couple of times where I've had to modify the number on the car. And, I always just cry like a stuck pig. I'm like, oh, come on. It's two, so there's a Mustang in this group that's number two, too. You know, everyone's got a transponder. Figure it out.
Yeah,
you know, right. My car's pink and white. The other car's probably black. You know what I mean? Just figure it out. And so I was like, is this necessary in modern times? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. You go to the airport. There's 15... You know, Airbuses that are all owned by American Airlines. We don't have to put numbers on them. Keep track of them. Figure them out.
Right.
They have transponders on them, you know. So I was bellyaching about that. But then at the very end of the day on Saturday, when we were watching Jim Farley and his Trans Am race, and our friend Patrick Long got put into one of those cars. I think it was Chip Connor's car. It's a Bud Moore. I think the orange, everyone says yellow. There's school bus yellow, but the cars look orange. But anyway, whatever. There were two of them out there, maybe even three. And for the entire race,
Yeah.
We're watching it, and we're like, which one's Patrick in? He's in the 15. Yeah. Oh, no, but there's another 15 out there.
And it's the same car, orange.
And then the leaderboard up on the up on the Christmas tree was like 15A's in fourth, or 15's in third. And first off, they're both running like second, third, fourth.
Right.
You know, the whole. And we were just sitting there, they're going, which one's Patrick in? And nobody knew.
Yeah.
And even at the end of the race, because I was like, I watched a little of it online. It's like the announcers were like, who's in the lead? We don't know. Number 15. We're not sure which car that is. So all the complaining I did really kind of bit me in the ass.
Right at the end there.
Well, here's what I would say.
Well, it's the same exact car. You could do an A and a B or a 151 or something.
Right. Okay. So here's the new addendum. If, in fact, they're both Budmore Trans Am Mustangs and then they're both the same number, then you must do it.
Yeah.
Or even if it's the same make, you know, or body style. But if some guy's running a Decon Monza and I'm running a Porsche,
right,
then no need.
Right. I would even say, like you mentioned before, you know, Adam in the number two white Porsche and so-and-so in the black Interscope 935 number two, for, you know, something like that. It's not real.
We could literally not figure it out.
And toward the end there, we could figure it out. And then there was some sort of, I don't know, kerfuffle toward the end, and nobody really knew what was going on with those cars. Because
I watched the tape. Patrick Long just kind of pulled over at the top of the...
But then everybody kind of stopped behind him?
No, he kind of felt that way. But they just kind of... He let like four guys go past him, and then he...
Was he waving them by at some point? I don't
know. No, he was... He won from 27th. He drove up to the lead on the very last lap and realized that he was going to win the race. And I don't think they wanted a ringer winning the race. I don't know what was
right.
Discussed.
He was just testing the car. He wasn't even really in the race. Like, he didn't qualify to get in there or whatever. He just,
whatever it was,
ran the car.
He was heading up the hill toward the corkscrew and he just sort of pulled over to the left and four cars. He wasn't waving them. You don't, first off, when you're racing and you pull off the racing line and slow down dramatically, you don't need to wave anyone by. They're going by.
Obviously, he's going fast, so even if anybody hesitated a little bit, he kind of got the feeling in this mirror, like, why is everybody slowing down?
There could have been two guys behind him who did slow down, and there could have been four guys that kind of went around.
Right.
But they went around, and you know, the guy in, like, notchback Mustang? May have won the thing, or maybe a Charger or Challenger. I can never remember. Anyway, it was great
for
race.
For like the last 12 seconds, that guy was feeling pretty good about himself. He's like, what? I just passed. I'm going to win.
It was exciting. Yeah. All right. Let me tell you about Air Med Care Network. Yeah. Health insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of an emergency medical flight. Even with comprehensive coverage, you could get hit with substantial copays and deductibles. Plan ahead in an emergency. Air Med Care Network's highly trained crews provide air medical transport to the nearest and most appropriate trauma center. With an Air Med Care Network membership, you pay no out-of-pocket expenses for the flight. An AMCN membership covers your entire household for as little as $85 a year. That's everybody for as little as $85 a year. Secure your financial peace of mind. CarCast listeners, get up to a $50 e-gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/carcast and use the offer code CARCAST. You do that, you get that $50 e-gift card with your new membership. All right, I think we have...
And named a car, the Grey Ghost.
And
it stuck, the fans went wild. And here we are.
The Farley has...
55 years later.
Farley pulls over.
Coming up. I think
Farley had a mechanical issue.
Okay,
He was in the hunt, and he pulled it over.
Okay, so that's Farley pulling over.
Right.
Patrick's still
right
in front.
That's 115, and then the other 15, school bus yellow. I wish you'd call it orange.
Yeah, I always thought of it as orange, but yeah, we're watching a little bit of the of that race.
Right. So it's funny. So the poor announcers don't even know what's going on exactly. But at some point, Long, who's in third place in the Bud Moore car, which is the best looking of all the Trans Am cars, except for actually the black and red Bud Moore car actually looks kind of...
Yeah, that's a cool car.
Even better.
Look
but
at this Cuda up front.
Yeah, the Cuda is a cool Trans Am, piece as well. So Farley's got his hand out the window and he's going slow at this point because he's trying to let everyone know he's having mechanical issues.
It's a Sunoco car. That's a cool Camaro.
Yeah. It's funny that there's a notchback leading the race.
Yeah. Man, you talk all the time about how these guys, the guys in the 510s, run even quicker than these big high horsepower muscle cars. You know, in these muscle cars, because they're bigger and they're heavy and they got a lot of torque and they still got a little tire on it, you see them sliding all over the track.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. So
they go so wide on that turn. They slide all over the place. I mean, it looks like fun, but it's a handful.
Yeah, it's funny. So if you go down to the track.
There's Patrick taking the first.
So Patrick takes the lead, goes inside. Around turn two, which should be called turn one because they count the kink at the top of the whatever. Then the guy slides back in, and now it's kind of on.
Yeah.
Now, so the thing that's funny about this is they're big muscle.
Oh, yeah. Now it's on.
They're big muscle cars, right? I mean, these cars... I don't know if these guys build cheater motors or whatever, but there's no problem getting 580 horsepower out of one of these V8s, right? Is there a problem?
I don't think so. Not at all.
I mean, you take a 302, you take a Ford 302, right? And so there's Patrick pulling off to the side and slowing down. And he led about three or four guys around and then they went on and went. All right. So, riddle me this.
I like that Patrick did have to get up front just to make a statement.
Right.
He's like, you know, I can win. I just want you to know I can.
So the thing that's I always find interesting, but maybe it's just a little point of pride, these guys go around, they have these big, booming, sonic V8 engines. I don't know, Max Bat, if you can find out what one of those... the Boss 302 has a 302 in it, right?
Yeah.
Makes sense. The guys that are up front, the guys who build those engines, obviously they have like NASCAR guys and stuff build those engines or something. Yeah. They got to be getting 600 horsepower out of those things or close to it.
Yeah, you know, they're getting some RPM out of them. They're probably using solid roller, you know, mechanical lifters,
And they probably have rules. You got to run one four-barrel carb or something like that. But I don't know, 550, 600 horsepower, something like that.
Yeah.
And when the cars are going around the track, they're making so much noise, and they just seem like they're just hauling ass.
Yeah.
And then you put a stopwatch on it, and I think we put a stopwatch on the leader during like a qualifying race.
Yeah.
It was like 146, 145 and
I might have it.
Change 140, 146. That's the leader in that run group.
Yeah.
So they're doing a 146 lap, 145, 8 or something like that. The leader in that run group. When you go out there with the B sedan guys, I turned a 146 like 99999. I was mid pack.
Yeah.
If you go out with the fast B sedan 2.5 Trans Am guys, some of the guys in the 2002 BMW, certainly the 510 guys, some of the Alpha guys, if you want to be in the front of that group, you're doing 142s, 143s.
Yeah.
If you want to be midder pack, you're doing 145s, 146. And if you want to be sort of mid-pack back, you're doing 147s into like 150. So the guys out there in their 510 are actually turning faster laps in those cars. And look, you take one of those Bud Moore Trans Am cars out there, that car's prepped
for
this race.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no, that thing is geared, it's dialed in, it's everything. It is ready to go. And those guys can drive. And they're not getting around as quick as those little 510s.
Yeah. What are they running? 7-inch rims?
On those cars?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably
a 7 and an 8.
The 510s are running 13x7s.
Yeah.
And those guys are probably running 14x7s.
Right.
And I don't know if they're staggered. I don't think they're probably running the same size tire on all four corners.
Right.
I would suspect that would be a rule.
Yeah.
And they're probably running, I mean, it could be 6 or 6.5s. Like I don't know. We're looking at a Budmore car from Mecum.
From Mecum.
2012.
By the way, in the specs of that, Chris, do they have the tire size? Just wondering if check. They...
I think that actually there was one in Indy in May. Sorry, that one sold for $143.
Is that a real Budmore Trans Am car, or is that like... the last Carcraft Mustang. I mean, that car's gone up in value quite a damn bit.
Yeah.
But then the one in Monterey, that one, the high bid was $300,000.
Oh, and it didn't
and
sell?
That was in 2012.
Oh.
Hmm.
I wonder what the story of that car was. Anyway, they're cool pieces. I think they're – anyway, the point is they got a ton of horsepower. They don't have a ton of – tire, but you know the Datsuns have 200 horsepower,
right?
And they're running a 13-inch rim. But
now, you and I went and watched the other run group with the Cobras, and Jim Farley was racing his Cobra. And I think when we were sitting up there, we were timing a few of his laps just with the stopwatch, unofficial. And I think he was getting 142s in the Cobra.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah. So the Cobra's a little lighter.
Yeah,
it's the same.
Probably a little more tire.
It looks like it has a little more tire.
Yeah, I mean, but the flares on the back maybe more tire. I don't know if they're just pushing the wheels out further or if it's got more tire on it.
Well, I think the Cobras run, maybe they're 15s. I don't know.
Yeah.
Be interested. I should get down there and check as interested as I am. It seems like they have a little more tire, but also the Cobra's got to be 1,000 pounds lighter than the Trans Am cars. And then the 510s are 500 pounds lighter than the Cobra.
Those Trans Am
cars,
it's
all about weight.
They got to come in, what, 2,800, 2,900?
I think maybe even a little more, but yeah, okay. And then the Cobra's coming in at 2,400, 2,500, or mm-hmm. you know, whatever, I guess. And then the 510's coming in at 1,950 mm-hmm. or some version of that, but it's weight.
Right.
If you think about it.
Yeah, weight and traction, you know.
Right.
It's how much, you know, how much tire can you put under the smallest car, I guess.
What is the tire size on a racing Cobra, Maxipad? And what's the tire size on in the Trans Am division as well? I would be interested. Anyway, good racing, good guys. No big incidents. People kept it clean, you know,
yeah.
A couple people got off the tracks, a couple of yellow flags, a couple of tow vehicles.
And not many. Not many. And I didn't see any black flags during practice. So either people were just keeping it clean, fast, but clean. But
right.
Man, I tell you, an impressive car was that Sachs 935.
Yeah.
In the run group, man. That car was just had a good weekend. I mean, obviously the guy's fast and the car's amazing, but all things considered, you know, look, Kenepa had a little bit of bad luck and he's got a great team, but man, that car was dialed in. It was loving the weather. It was loving everything. That car was fast.
Yeah, and so beautiful.
It just was. I mean, he was in a league of his own. Like, he was from the get-go, he just jumped the gun and he was many car lengths in front of even the second place person, but just a freaking cool car to see.
Great looking car.
Yeah, that thing was dialed in.
And that thing will definitely be back for the Le Mans.
A nutty
race.
Class to watch, by the way, is the F1 cars. You cannot watch those cars without earplugs.
Right.
I mean, it's just a high pitched, loud, like, they're cool to see. When you see that John Player special car out there and some of those cars out there. Those vintage F1 cars are cool looking, real kind of cab forward, you know, like the seat, you know, the driver's real kind of forward in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, some of the best era of F1. Now there's, you know, so many fins and the front tires yeah. and the rear tires are the same size and everything.
And they seem like they're so much further back and the nose is real long. Like,
yeah.
if you think about how far forward they are, that must be an incredible view to be. You yeah. probably can't see anything in front of you except your tires, the top of your tires. You can see your, you know, the yeah. open wheel. But it just be kind of scary. When you're coming up that fast behind the guy in front of you, it just looks like you could reach out and touch him because you're so close.
Yeah, those guys, that's a fun class to watch. It those guys, they don't do a lot of dicing, you know what I mean? Because they're like open wheel.
Yeah, expensive,
and
dangerous.
Real expensive, real dangerous, real fast, and real open wheel. So they don't do a lot of dive bombing in on the corners and cutting guys off. And, you know, they what they basically do is they all just go out and run fast, and they kind of stay in a line. And there's not a lot of lead changes, and I'm not taking anything away from it. It's just they're really expensive cars. They're really fast. They're dangerous, and they have open wheels. Like, they just yeah. do not do what the other guys do in some of those other classes.
We said last week, you were telling your story about driving the 2+2 car, and somebody came in on the inside. You made a little space for them, and then you forget there's somebody right on his tail. So when that 914 came in and rubbed a tire against your door.
Right.
Right?
Well, you know, that guy never made contact with me. I prevented him rubbing his whole car against my door by literally taking myself into the dirt. But
in those open wheel cars, that's scary.
Oh, yeah. And also, what I was trying to explain to people that I had to learn, you know, this time around, because I was like on the losing end of it, which is at some point the fast guys are going to come up on the slow guys.
Yeah.
And at some point in my run group, around lap 8 is when the guys that are out front in that Sachs 935, or they're going to start coming up on the guys in the back, like me, depending on what car I bring. If sometimes I bring a fast car, then I don't have to worry about that. But what I was trying to impress upon people that I kind of learned the hard way is when you have a guy lap you, he's traveling at a much higher rate of speed, and they go past you pretty fast. And the tendency is to see the one guy coming up behind you, maybe give him a little space, have him pass you, and then go back in, you know, go back like an element of like, all right, that guy passed me.
Yeah.
That guy's always racing somebody else.
Right.
And
right.
The guy he's racing is almost equally as fast, and that guy does not want to get stuck behind the slow guy.
Right.
So the first guy will pat. There's a couple of things. The first guy you'll see coming, and the first guy will see you, and the first guy will get around you cleanly and quickly. It's the second guy who is, and by the way, the second guy's going to try something a little ballsier.
Right.
Because usually when the first guy passes, unless it's just on the straightaway, but it's not always on the straightaway. It's mostly not on the straightaway. It's going into the corkscrew or whatever it is.
Right.
If the fast guy gets past you going into the corkscrew, the other fast guy he's racing doesn't want to get stuck behind your slow ass going down that corkscrew.
Mm-hmm.
He'll try something a little nutty.
Yeah.
Because he's got to make yeah. it past you so they can drop in.
You really got to know the difference between somebody trying to pass you because they're the guy right behind you, you know, between fourth and fifth place or third and fourth, and the guy passing you because he's lapped the pack.
Right.
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 You're clearing the way for that guy, and that guy's being followed by many other guys.
It's also be aware now it's on. You're going to get lapped. I mean, there's going to be more. This is going to keep happening until the end of the race.
Right.
Once the leader laps you, on, you know, lap eight, you got two or three more laps of people passing you.
Mm-hmm.
And so be prepared. So with me, I was trying to pass that. I was racing. I was trying to catch up to this RSR, and I felt like I was catching him. And then he went right by, you know, 9:14.6, like right after the corkscrew.
Yeah.
And the 9:14.6, like, swung up wide. Everyone takes that goddamn turn a different way, so there's no line. It's a bad turn to try to – there's a lot of passing on that turn, but there's a lot of guys who go high. There's a lot of guys who just ride the mid-track down it. A lot of people don't apex it. It's just a weird – it's a short shift. You can find it, Max Zapata. It's – I don't know what – whatever. Just driving a 2+2 Z car going into the dirt, forced off the track. I don't know. It's probably on the internet. Yeah. But it's also a funky place to pass because people – you don't know what line the person in front of you is on because some guys just go, it's a short shift. You come down the corkscrew and you just grab second gear or third gear, depending on how your car's geared, quick. And then some guys just kind of run right through the middle of the track and sometimes apex it a little on the left-hander. Other guys like swing up wide and then drop down. Other guys just run down the middle all the way. Like if you look at that racing line, people are all over the place on that thing. So when the RSR snuck by, I was like, oh, I got to stay with this guy because if I get stuck behind the – and also the race is ending, right?
Right.
So I want to squeeze in through this door, and the guy in the Porsche swung up. So – maybe he's getting out of the way or that's his racing line or whatever it is. And I was going to sneak through and he just came all the way down the track.
Yeah.
Like he's like, all right, now I'm apexing. And I was just like, he's going to hit me.
Yeah.
I don't know why he didn't. I mean, you know,
I mean, like, you really assume he doesn't see you.
Yeah. He doesn't see me.
Right. And then at some point, you know, he does or he will, or he's going to hit you and then see you.
Well, first, let me tell you about JB Weld, world's strongest bond. JB Weld pros have trusted it for over 50 years. But why hire a pro when JB Weld makes it easy to do it yourself? We're proud to have JB Weld Epoxy Adhesive as a sponsor. I personally know the owner, hung out with these guys at SEMA. They make great products. We use all these products all the time. Thankfully, we didn't have to use any at the track.
Yeah, that's good.
DIY projects, auto, crafts, plumbing, marine, and more. And you can use it on metal, wood, plastics, glass, ceramic, whatever. I mean, it's JB Weld. I use it to fix Sonny's stuff. Again, everyone here uses it, and I use it for just about everything. Also, they acquired Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. So get yourself some of that. It's JB Weld, right, Matt?
Yeah, JB Weld is available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, Napa, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And remember, JB Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA. It's JB Weld, world's strongest bond.
All right, do we have that thing, Max Pan?
I'm trying to load it up. Just give me a few minutes.
Okay. So anyway, good weekend, perfect weather. Everything was great. Saw some really cool cars. We got to see my ATC.
ATS.
ATS. I'll never remember the name
of
it.
ATS.
ATS. ATS 2500, my favorite car that no one knows.
I'll tell you, you know, we walked around Pebble, and thanks to Lincoln, by the way, for hosting us. Walking around Pebble, they had the big Porsche display with the 917s, but how cool was the ATS, and how cool was Peter Klute's Cobra? That really special.
People should look up.
He posted something about it on Instagram. He wrote a little something about that car. I'll find it real quick, and I'll.
You got the wrong car up there, Max Banner.
Let's see. What's his name? Legacy?
The Cobra is interesting because I was talking about it. It's a Cobra with like a Daytona chassis and a 390 in it, and it's stretched out, and it's just a killer car. I don't know. People can go online and look for it. I guess they'd say Shelby Cobra 390 Daytona chassis or something and see if they can find it. It's a really special Ken Miles. It was a Ken Miles car, and it was a really, really interesting piece. And that ATS 2500. If a lot of you guys don't know what that car is, go look that car up.
What's the name of his shop again? I'm trying to find his
Dream Car Garage, the name of the show.
Yeah.
But I can't think of the name of his garage. Legendary Cars.
Legendary
Cars is what it's called.
Legendary Motor Car. So he posted Legendary Motor Car.
You guys are bringing up the wrong cars.
And I'll read this to you real quick. This is what he said. He said, after a three-year restoration on the flip-top Cobra, we finally got to present the car at the Pebble Beach Concourse. The car was Shelby's answer to the Corvette Grand Sports.
Mm-hmm.
This was Ken Miles' pet project, and he used every trick in the book. 1,600 pounds, 500 horsepower, experimental Ford 390 with an aluminum block, and 58-millimeter Webers. Everything was hand-built at Shelby American with a distinct purpose. The chassis was stretched 3 inches and lightened. The backbone-style substructure was the same as the Daytona Coupes. A super lightweight one-off body was made. The car had Heim joints on the A-arms. It had GT40 brakes, just to name a few of the mods. And then he posted a picture of it in racing back in the day. This car smoked the Corvette Grand Sports, the GTOs, the 250 LMs, and the GT40s. The car now retains its original chassis, body, engine, and original stock car special Goodyear tires. The fastest, lightest, most beautiful Cobra ever produced.
Well, look that car up because it is
cool. It's bigger. But lighter. The whole thing is stretched. It's wider. When you really look at the rear photo, I'll post a couple photos up on Motorator on my social media as well. When you look at the rear photo and you have the gas cap, the quick fill, you can see it's tucked into the bodywork because the bodywork's been stretched.
Right. All right. We found it.
All right. We got the...
Here it is. Here. Turn it up.
There might be
commentary. Oh, okay. Well, then we'll just run it.
Now I'm going to catch him at the top.
So I'm behind an RSR. It's a beautiful day, by the way.
Yeah.
Getting to the top of the corkscrew. Coming up on a Roush Capri, I think it looks like up there, too. He gets through the corkscrew quicker than I do. He goes low, and I go, all right, I'm going to follow him down into that. But the Porsche didn't see me, and the Porsche just... cut me off. But again, he wasn't really cutting me off.
Right. He just dove in pretty quickly. And by the time you saw him coming in, you were just into the dirt. By the way, you watched that video in real time. It all happens real fast.
It happens.
It's very easy to slow down this stuff.
You have a little, there's a little window. The guy's coming down to make the turn. I would have to brake.
Yeah.
And you're braking, that Porsche RSR is getting away.
Yeah. Now, you knew where he was there because you saw him when you were following the RSR, you saw that car up there. So you knew he was going to be coming down. That guy, he did exactly what you were talking about. He probably saw the RFR. It was coming in fast. He let a little room, didn't realize you were right behind him. He should have done exactly what you just said at the beginning of the show.
All right.
Let me tell you guys about the Good Guys. It's the Good Guys Rod and Custom Associations coming to York, Pennsylvania for the second Grundy Collector Car Insurance Great American Nationals. It's at the York Expo Center. It's August 20 through the 22nd. They have over 2,000 classic cars and trucks on display with an autocross, a burnout competition, and vintage dragster exhibition. Plus, there's a huge swap meet and hundreds of cars for sale. Bring the whole family. There's live entertainment. There's a model and pedal car display. And the kids zone is there for free. Tickets go on sale now at goodguys.com. It's good-guys.com. Free admission for kids 6 and under. But if you go to goodguys.com, use promo code CARCAST for $5 off.
So what else? Thoughts?
You know, we saw a couple of cool car debuts that were up there. You know, we touched on a few of them on social media, and I talked a little bit about it earlier this week on the podcast. But
By the way, I just want to say, if you guys look up Peter Klute's Cobra and you look up that ATS 2500,
yes,
you will see, like, by the way, both, you know, 1966 or whatever.
64 ATS.
Oh, 64. Sorry, yeah. 64. All right. They're both mid-60s cars. Mm-hmm. You're going to see the best America has to offer and the best Europe has to offer.
You
That's
will.
My
and
opinion.
I posted the pictures of the ATS on my Instagram social media. It's a red car. You'll see it. It's very, very unique.
Yeah.
You know, Acura announced the NSX Type S, a 600-horsepower NSX that will be a limited production. It'll be the final NSX in this current lineup. It's 600-horsepower hybrid. And then at the end, with a really, really cool light show that they put on with drones, they tease the Acura Integra is coming back. That was very, very cool to see. New Lamborghini Countach. 803-horsepower hybrid. Lot of talk online about this car. People say, oh, in person it looks better than the photos, and people are saying that they don't like it. Some people say they do like it. I'll say that I think it's kind of cool. I think you liked it. Mm-hmm. But keep in mind that our first impression was we saw it in person first, and then we saw the photo. So we got to talk with the guy. We went to the auctions as well. By the way, all of this is going to be on our show, Going Racing. Mm-hmm. The first season where we did a lot of Goodwood stuff is up now. You can binge it on Pluto. And all the stuff we just filmed, I believe, is going to be season two in November.
Yeah, it's our Chassis Channel 687. A lot of good stuff, a lot of real behind-the-scenes stuff that you just don't get a chance to see on other... There's no other car shows that do that kind of stuff.
I had fun with it during this outing at Monterey. I think just maybe a little bit fewer people on the schedule accommodating, being able to go to the auctions. By the way, that McLaren F1, $20 million world record on that car. Was just a cool
paint sticker from the guy said I had to come to the factory to pick it up.
Let us at home doing an Irish jig or something. God. He's got to be loving it right now.
All right, let me tell you once again about Air Medcare Network Health Insurance. Doesn't always cover the full cost of an emergency medical flight, even with comprehensive coverage. You could get hit with substantial copays and deductibles. Plan ahead an emergency. Air Medcare Network's highly trained crews provide air medical transport to the nearest and most appropriate trauma center. And if you get the membership, you pay no out-of-pocket expenses for the flight. It's a AMCN membership. It covers your entire household for as little as $85 a year. And you'll get a little financial peace of mind. And also, our listeners, CarCast listeners, get up to a $50 e-gift card with a new membership. So what do? Go to airmedcarenetwork.com/CarCast. Use the offer code CarCast and get that e-gift card and peace of mind for your family. I got to tell you, the stuff they're bringing to the circle of the lawn, not the lawn, but the exhibitor circle or with the prototype circle,
the concept
or whatever.
The concept lawn.
Everyone's got something good.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot
Genesis, Lincoln, Porsche, Maserati, that MC12, Koenigsegg. By the way, a great interview with Christian von Koenigsegg. Again, I know he was on the podcast, but great to see him in person.
Yeah.
Those cars are unbelievable.
I mean, a lot of really killer stuff there and killer technology as well. All right, do your last spot.
Yeah, you know, we also want to thank Lincoln for hosting us. Of course, everybody at Con Media, they've been great. Acura as well. JRZ Suspension hosting us at the track, the Quail events. And, oh my God, Dan, how about Dan, the chef?
Oh, my God.
Dan Wood knocked it out of the park. It's fantastic. I brought one of those steaks home, and he was texting me, and he's like, this is what you do. And he was telling me exactly how to prep it. I made it last night. I made more of the tacos. I brought one of the ribeyes home, and I was like, it's not frozen. I don't want to waste it. I brought it home, and I was like, we're making this thing. And we did exactly the way he said. And it was perfect. I didn't put anything on it. It was perfect. It was so.
You gotta send that to me. You took one of the big steaks.
I took one of the big steaks. Yeah,
like 2 inches steak.
That's it, and we nailed it. Oh. Nailed it exactly. So I'll tell you what we did on it. But before we wrap up, word from Geico. Whether you own your home or rent your home, we know it can be quite a bit of work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home already. Just go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All right. Go to adamcarolla.com. Live shows coming up. Minneapolis, Catalina Island, Royal Oak Mission, Kansas City, Solana Beach, California, Chicago, Baltimore. Everywhere. Just go to amcarolla.com. What do you got, man?
A bunch of photos been putting up about from Monterey the whole weekend of the week up there. So follow me at Motorator on Instagram or Facebook.
And until next time, Sam Carolla for Matt, the Motorator, DeAndrea, saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Hey movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.